Because he lives, we have hope for today, don't we? We believe that Jesus rose from the grave. He conquered death, hell, and the grave all in one moment for you and for me. I don't know about you, but that's something to get excited about. That's something to be grateful for. It's the whole reason that we're here this morning is because of Jesus. We live in a world, it's so sad. Even churches are starting to say things like the resurrection was just a metaphor. I'm here to tell you today, it's not a metaphor. He literally rose from the grave. In fact, that contradicts Scripture, that very thought, 2 Corinthians 5:17. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. There is no reason. Without Christ's resurrection, you are still in sin if you believe that. In other words, if Christ has not been raised from the dead, there is no reason for us to be here this morning. We could all stay home and eat our omelets. But how many know, because he did rise from the grave, we have a reason to shout. We have a reason to be excited. We have a reason to be grateful, because even on your worst day, Christ still came for you. It's not about how good you are, it's about how great our God is. And what we have come here to do this morning, literally millions, and they say billions of Christians across the world are stopping right now and to declare that he is alive. He is risen. And I believe that this morning. I don't know about you, but turn to your neighbor and say, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. If you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Mark's gospel in just a moment, but I'll get there in just a moment. There we go. Nothing like it falling asleep. But I want to start with a little story. There it comes. We're going to be in Mark chapter 16 in just a moment. But before we get there, there was a man who was walking, and it was at night, and he thought he was going to a park. Turned out it was a cemetery. I don't know how this guy got that lost, but apparently he did. And he was walking and accidentally fell into an open grave. Someone had dug it, it was very deep, and he spent an hour trying to climb out of the grave. He finally gave up and went and sat at the back of the grave at the corner and just thought, I'll wait until morning, maybe light will come, someone will dig me out. Well, he's sitting there, as you can imagine, it's nighttime, and he falls asleep. He awakens to the sound of a thud. Another man had been walking and fell in the grave, and he began to try and climb out. And as the man was turning around, he heard a voice in the darkness say, "Give up, it's impossible." And the second man jumped out of the grave. The resurrection reminds us that Jesus has conquered death, hell, and the grave, and that he has victory. The Bible has a lot of different metaphors and imagery for us to understand this, but two of them are really powerful. The Lamb, how many of you have heard Jesus, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world? Now, why did he have to come as a lamb? He had to be pure, spotless, innocent, and he gave his life up for us. Another image that we hear and see is the lion. He's the lion of the tribe of Judah. And I love how Augustine put this. He said, being Jesus, he endured death as a lamb. He devoured it as a lion. And I believe the Lion of Judah is still alive today. He is roaring, he is king, and he is in charge. No matter what the world may tell you, no matter what social media says, no matter what the media says, no matter who is the governor of any state, Jesus is still king. Can I get an amen? Amen. But it's interesting when we go back in time, and I want us to go back in time to Mark 16 during this context, because when Jesus died, death had thought it had won. When Jesus died, Satan thought he had won. When Jesus died, the Romans thought they had won. When Jesus died, the disciples thought they had lost. The followers all thought he had lost. And what happens is fascinating, because when we look at this picture, for many of you here today, you've probably heard the story. You've heard pastors do this. And so we think it's a foregone conclusion. Yes, Jesus rose from the dead. But when we look at this story, it gives us hope, because just like the disciples, just like Mary and Martha, just like all the other followers of Jesus, there were moments in their lives where they had doubt, where it looked like things weren't going to work out the way they thought it would be. And maybe you're here this morning and you're going through something hard. Maybe you've lost a job. Maybe it's like a book and you're reading it, and the storybook of your life right now, you're on chapter 3, and chapter 3 is not a good chapter. You can't take any more turns in chapter 3. I'm ready for chapter 4, 5, any chapter but 3. And this is where they find themselves in history. Chapter 16, okay, verse 1, you ready? It says, when the Sabbath was over. So in case you're wondering, Sabbath, that is Friday night at sundown through Saturday at sundown, okay? So Sabbath was over. Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb. Now listen to this question. I think this is hilarious. And they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? Do you see what they're thinking? Jesus is still dead. They bought spices. They're not going expecting a resurrection. They're going expecting to find a dead body. And then they're asking the question, who's going to roll the rock away? I don't know about you, but if you've ever studied this at all, to move this stone, and it was also sealed, by the way, it would take, and it did, an act of God to roll this stone away. And so they're going, and they're expecting to find a dead body. And I think there are some people here this morning that your expectations are pretty low. You're expecting things to stay the same. You're expecting to always stay broke. You're expecting to always have your relationships end. You're expecting to always be sick, to always be down. But I'm here today. The resurrection of Jesus Christ says that he can conquer death, hell, and the grave, and he can help you with your story too. It's not over. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's not over for you. It's not over for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, yeah, it's you too. Well, they're not over for you either. So they're at this tomb, and they're asking, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side. And they were, now this is where the Bible cracks me up. It's kind of like a snooze button. They were alarmed. Doesn't it just feel like not enough? I don't know about you, but if I peeked my head into a tomb and where it's dark, and I see an angel in other parts of Scripture when it depicts this story, it says that there was angel and he had flashes of lightning. And you're not supposed to be afraid. I don't know about you, but I would probably scream. I'd probably yell. I might even run out. Some might even faint. I don't know what I would do, but it would freak me out. I feel like maybe the Greek word needs to be a little bit stronger than just alarmed. But they were freaking out. Verse 6, don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. And I love in Luke it says, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is alive. See the place where they laid him, but go tell his disciples and Peter. Why did Peter get his name mentioned? One theologian, as I was studying this, said it's most likely because when the night Jesus was betrayed and crucified, guess who denied Jesus three times? It was Peter. It was like the angel was saying, you got to tell Peter. Your story's not over. Some of you in here, you've done some things that you wish you would have never done. You're full of regrets, shame, guilt, and pain. And if you could rewrite your story, you would. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus doesn't just fix things. He makes all things new. Amen. Just like Peter's story was rewritten, he can rewrite your story as well. Tell Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, I think those words are a little better. The women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. They were afraid. They didn't talk. They went straight back. And as you follow the story, they go back into this room and they're talking. They don't even let them in. Then they finally get in, and all of a sudden, Jesus shows up in the room. He is alive. Death thought it had won. Romans thought they had won. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they thought they had won. Everybody opposing Jesus thought they had won. Have you ever thought that you had won a victory? When I was in eighth grade, looking good with a great head of hair, I was playing basketball, and we were on a team that was playing up. So we were eighth graders playing against ninth and tenth graders. And it was the third day of this week-long camp, and we had won zero games. Has anybody ever been on a team that hasn't won? I mean, that's kind of demoralizing. Raise your hand. Oh, just kidding. Like, I'm used to losing. It's okay. No. But I was not used to losing. I was upset. So we had won zero games. In fact, we had lost seven in a row to start the camp out. It was bad. So this eighth game, we're up by 2 points with 2 seconds left, and we have free throws. Our guy's up to the line, and I'm thinking, we're going to win. First one he shoots, clank. I'm like, okay, it's okay. Make the next one. We're okay. Even if they make it three, we're okay, right? Next shot, he clanks it again. The other team catches the ball. The guy literally turns and just goes like this. And it went swish right through, and we lost by 1 point at the buzzer. 8 losses in a row. Devastating. I could barely contain my eighth grade body. But for Satan and for death and for evil, it thought it had won. And I love the imagery that 1 Corinthians 15:54 says about this. It says, death has been swallowed up in victory. And then it says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? As a Christian, hear me. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Amen. So he has swallowed death up with victory. I love that picture. So the question that I want to ask and I want to answer throughout the rest of the message is, because he lives. Because he lives, what implications does that little question, that statement have for you and for me? Because he lives, the first point I want to make is all fear is gone. You know, that is a great point to say amen to. Some of you I wish would say it, but that's okay. You don't have to. Don't make me feel good. It's okay. Because here's the truth. Here's the truth. It preaches well, but it's hard to live. Anybody else with me? Let's be real for a second. All fear is gone. Excuse me. That's not my experience. Have you driven the freeways of Portland? All fear is gone. How dare you make a claim like that? How could you say that all fear is gone? You see, one of the most unifying experiences that we have as people is that things tend to fall apart. We go through pain. We experience fear and anxiety. In the 1960s, by the way, how many were alive? Just kidding, I won't make you raise your hand. In the 1960s, there was a couple named Bill and Gloria, and they were going through a really rough time. He almost died of mono. He was accused of moral behavior that he didn't do, but he was about to lose his job. He was falsely accused. There was a cancer treatment. Gloria was pregnant with their third child. And in the middle of all of this, the nation was on fire. The whole movement that was trying to say God is dead, they were getting the Bible out of the public school system at this point. They're fighting everything. There's a war, political unrest, racism, violence, protests. It was like everything was falling apart. And poor Gloria is looking at her belly, seeing a baby come. Her husband may not make it. It's New Year's Eve, and she begins to cry. And she begins to feel the weight of the world. And she begins to experience fear and anxiety and doubt like she has never felt before in her life. Has anybody had a moment like that in their lives? When it feels like you can't even get out of bed in the morning. So she begins to weep. And as she begins to cry, the only thing that she can get out is Jesus. Jesus, you got to help me. How can I bring a baby into a world like this? I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like the 60s are starting to happen again. And when I say that, I mean political unrest. I mean wars. I mean, we turn on the news and I pray with people every week, please help me. I'm so afraid what's going to happen next. And what I'm about to say, I want you to hear me very clearly, so please listen in because I want to say this as best I can. Today is Resurrection Sunday. The president can say it's Transgender Awareness Day, but I'm here to say it's Resurrection Sunday. Amen? And I look right online and I will say that publicly. And I also want you to hear me very clearly, that does not remove my love for any person who is struggling with their identity. We love you. We're praying for you. I can't imagine the pain you have gone through to worry about your identity. But the reason I stand up so firmly is because in Genesis it says that God created them male and female. Only God gets to decide our gender. It's an attack on God to change your gender. And I say that as honest and loving as I can, because here's the truth. I love you. I'm praying for you. And there's no reason why you can't be here. Because here's the truth. Sin is sin. Just because that's one issue doesn't mean there's people that are struggling with adultery. Doesn't mean that there are people looking at pornography. Doesn't mean there are people that are sowing discord among Christians. Do you know what the Lord hates? Gossip. I'm not here to say that one sin is worse than the other. The truth is, all sin leads to death. So the most loving thing I can do is point out the truth. Amen? Amen. So as I say that, my request is that you would pray with me. Pray for our nation. Pray for our country. Pray for our president. Pray because he lives. Because he lives, there is hope. So, Father, right now we pause in the name of Jesus. Even with those statements, I can feel the pain in the room for people. They're like, I'm with you, Pastor Nate, but I don't know about that. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would reveal the truth. Father, I pray that they would feel the love of God. I pray that the truth of God would set people free. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So back to Gloria. So Gloria, living in a world like we live in today, began to cry, and God brought peace. He brought the Holy Spirit. Joy began to fill the room. And as she's sitting there, she wrote a song that we sang today. And I'm going to read you the words. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future and life is worth the living just because he lives. And then one day, I'll cross the river. I'll fight life's final war with pain. And then, as death gives way to victory, I'll see the lights of glory and I'll know he lives. Because he lives. Because he lives. And if you're afraid at all, I just want you to know, John 14, 19 says, because I live, you will also live. Because Jesus lives, we don't have to be afraid. Because he lives. The second thing I want to point out is that because he lives, it's a resurrection, not a resuscitation. You see, Jesus raised somebody from the dead. His name was Lazarus. You remember the story? Lazarus, come forth. I'm sure he sounded just like that. I don't know. But Lazarus died again. He's not walking around the streets of Jerusalem saying, hey, it was me. He died again. Jesus did something completely different. I love the way C.S. Lewis says it. It says that in his book with the Chronicles of Narnia, he says that death began working backward. In other words, he had taken what was dead and gone, and he had brought it back to life, and he began to go around, and he breathed on the disciples the Holy Spirit, and they experienced new life in him. Do you realize that's what Jesus does when you go from believing lies and you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior? You go from death to life. The Bible says the old life is gone, the new has come. You're a new creation. All things are becoming new. The message of the resurrection is a powerful message because it exactly explains what Jesus is doing and where he is. Because here's the truth. Some people, maybe you're newer to faith or you haven't heard this, but Jesus, when he rose from the dead, did you know that he actually is somewhere else? Did you know that? I'm like, really? Where is he? Oh, glad you asked. I'm going to tell you. Are you ready? So the message of the resurrection, number one, is Jesus is alive. Say it with me. Jesus is alive. Very good. The second thing is this. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God. Did you know that? He's sitting at the right hand of God. How do I know this? The Bible tells me so. Hebrews 10, 12. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. How cool is that? So he's alive. He's sitting at the right hand of God. Number three, you ready? Jesus is interceding for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's for you. He's interceding for you. Some of you didn't raise your voice like that. You got to hit the pitch. It's for you. I'm just kidding. Hebrews 7:25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. Isn't that amazing? Jesus is interceding for you. The next thing he's doing, I love this part, Jesus is preparing heaven for us. He's preparing heaven for us. John 14, 1 through 3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm coming there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. Anybody else excited to see your room in heaven? Yeah. It's going to be a lot better than what the bedroom you have right now is. I promise you that. Doesn't matter how big the flat screen is in your room. You're going to be looking at the gates of heaven. Yeah. It's going to be amazing. And Jesus is preparing a place for you. For you. Next thing that we know is this. Jesus is waiting for the Father's plan to unfold, and then he will come and get us. Then he will come and get us. And then at the same time, Jesus lives on the inside of every believer through the presence of the Holy Spirit. So here's the truth. If you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and he lives in me. Therefore, the Bible says that the same power that raised Christ from the dead, guess what? He lives in me. But here's the problem that I see so many Christians have, is that God may be a part of their life, but he's not all of their life. He may be like a side dish, but he's not everything. He's supposed to be everything in your life. So how does that start to happen? One of the best ways that you could start to change your life and allow God's Word and the Holy Spirit to change your life is to memorize Scripture. When was the last time we memorized Scripture? Don't raise your hand, okay? I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember Scripture in a while. So here's what we're going to do. Maybe you didn't even know this. We haven't talked about this in a while. We have a hub back there. Everybody say hi, Harrison. Harrison's chilling out, Pastor Harrison. Okay, we have notes over there that have the big idea and all the scriptures and a prayer and things like that, but we also have added a memory verse. So if you memorize Scripture, and why would I want you to memorize Scripture? Because memorizing Scripture will transform your mind. How do you transform your life? By renewing the way that you think. If you're not memorizing Scripture, what are you filling your mind with? I don't know about you, but there's a world fighting for your mind right now, trying to change the way that you think, trying to get you full of fear, doubt. It's a political season. Oh, everything's falling apart. We just said, because he lives, all fear is gone. So, if you memorize this verse, Pastor Harrison has a Jolly Rancher for you next week. Here's the verse, John 15:5. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do some things. On Wednesdays at 3 o'clock. No, apart from me. Do we believe that? Apart from him, I can do nothing. That's why we get in the Word of God. My next one is this, because he lives. I need to go a little faster. Because he lives, he has the power to forgive our sins. I want you to think about this for a moment. If he had not risen from the grave, would he have the power to forgive your sins? No. Why? Because he wouldn't be God. Only God can forgive sins. And no matter how good of a person you are, some of you right now, I'm looking at you, you look really nice. Trainers say, yeah, I do look pretty nice. I got this suit at Macy's last night. Feeling pretty good about myself. My new haircut, everything's looking sharp. Do you like the smell of my cologne? Everything's good. But here's what you have to know. No matter how good you dress yourself up, no matter how great you think you are, you cannot earn salvation. All the money in the world cannot buy your salvation. Only Jesus could pay the price. Only him. There's a story of a boy. His name was Tanner Brownlee. And when he was 15 years old, his dad was a sheriff, was killed in the line of fire. He was a policeman. He was called to a scene, and there was a shootout. And at 15 years old, him and his brother right there, they lost their dad. And 5 years go by, and they, to be honest, they weren't really the same. They're struggling. They missed their dad. But I think most of us can relate to this. If you've ever lost a loved one or someone that you cared about, as time goes by, the more you forget about that person. And the police station had kept their dad's car, and they could go back and see the police car anytime they want. Well, they decided to auction off this vehicle to raise money to help victims and people that have lost families and that have lost families. And so what ended up happening was him and his brother decided that they were going to raise money to buy their dad's car. So they got as much money as they could, and they got $5,000 together. And the time came for the auctioneer, and he began to rattle off, do I have $1,000? And the kid said, yeah, I got $1,000. And someone else in the room said, I got $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. The kid said, I got $5,000. Next person, $6,000. Next person, $7,000. $8,000. And they looked at each other, these brothers, and they began to cry. Someone else is buying their dad's car. Goes all the way up to $12,500. And as they're sitting there in their tears, the auctioneer yells, sold to the man right over here for $12,500. The man walks across the room, grabs the car keys, turns around, and hands Tanner the keys. The price he could not pay, somebody else paid. I need to remind some of you today, Jesus paid the price for you. He paid the ultimate price for you. And I love every person in this room and every person online watching this. And I want you to hear this from the most tender part that I can give you is this. It's time to come home to Jesus. If you're here today and you've lost your way, you're not following God, today's your day, Easter Sunday. It's time to repent and come back to Jesus. Sin is awful. Sin breaks the heart of God. Sin will lead you further and take you down a road you never thought you would go and will make a fool of you always. Today's your day to repent and come back to God. Today's your day. Jesus paid the price for you and for me. Can I have everyone bow your heads and close your eyes just for a moment, just to give people a moment? If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He's alive, and He paid the price for you once and for all. If that's you this morning, would you raise your hand? Would you raise your hand and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior? We had a lot of hands in the first service. I'm believing there's more in the second. Would you raise your hand if you want to make Jesus your Lord and Savior? Repent of your sins and make Him the Lord of your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Well, maybe there's some people online. Let's pray this prayer together. Say, Jesus. Come on, everybody together. Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I repent and turn to you. I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. In the first service, we had quite a few people raise their hands. And if you're maybe here and you're like, man, I did that, but I didn't raise my hand or I didn't see your hand, I'm going to be over here where it says, my best yes, right after service. And if you said yes to Jesus, would you meet me over there? I'd love to pray with you. And also, next week is Baptism Sunday. And we had a family of three in the first service all get saved in that service and sign up to get baptized next Sunday. Isn't that awesome? God is so good. And here's what I want to say. If you're listening to this message today, whether online or here, because He lives, because He lives, there is hope, there is freedom, and there is life. My fourth and final because He lives is this: I have victory today and hope for tomorrow.
Hello, my name is Pastor John, and I'm the online campus pastor here at Portland Christian Center. I wanted to first of all thank you for listening to this message, and our prayer is that what you heard today has inspired something within you on your journey to discover more of who God is. I do want to give one more opportunity to accept Christ, so if you're listening today and want to make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, then please pray this with me. Lord Jesus, for too long I've kept you out of my life. I know that I'm a sinner and that I cannot save myself. No longer will I close the door when I hear you knocking. By faith, I gratefully receive your gift of salvation. I am ready to trust you as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming to earth. I believe you are the Son of God who died on the cross for my sins and rose from the dead on the third day. Thank you for bearing my sins and giving me the gift of eternal life. I believe your words are true. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be my Savior. Amen. If you prayed that prayer to accept Christ, congratulations. We at Portland Christian Center call that decision your best yes, and we are here to help you walk forward in your faith journey. So whether you receive Christ today or are curious more about Portland Christian Center and what's happening here, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. That's pcctoday.com.